Good morning. It's April 19th, and this is your daily brief in EU news. Here's everything you need to know. In a thrilling turn of events, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich have punched their tickets to the UEFA Champions League semi-finals, setting the stage for an epic showdown. This development comes after Real Madrid's dramatic victory over Manchester City, decided by a penalty shootout following a 1-1 draw in regular time. The road to the UEFA Champions League semi-finals was marked by intense competition, with Real Madrid facing off against Manchester City. The match concluded in a nail-biting 4-3 penalty shootout in favour of Real Madrid, showcasing the high stakes and the fine margins that define this prestigious tournament. Meanwhile, Italy's presence in European football has been significantly bolstered. The country has secured 5 spots in the 2024-2025 Champions League, thanks to the progress of Roma and Milan into the Europa League semi-finals, and Fiorentina's advance to the Conference League Final Four. This achievement not only highlights the strength of Italian clubs in European competitions, but also grants the Italian Federation an additional spot in the Champions League, emphasising the nation's growing influence in the sport. The 2024-2025 Champions League is set to introduce a new format, expanding to include 36 clubs. This change promises to reshape the landscape of European football, offering more teams the chance to compete on this grand stage. As Italy celebrates its increased representation, Germany and England are left to contend for another extra spot, adding an extra layer of intrigue to the competition. The semi-final matches are scheduled to kick off on April 30th and May 1st, with the return legs slated for May 7th and 8th. The climax of the tournament will unfold on June 1st, with the final set to take place at the iconic Wembley Stadium in London. For football enthusiasts eager to catch every moment of the action, all Champions League and Europa League matches will be available for live streaming on TNT Sports through Discovery+. In a striking development from Bavaria, two individuals with dual German-Russian citizenship, Dieter S. and Alexander J., find themselves at the centre of a high-stakes espionage drama, accused of plotting against Germany's support for Ukraine. This case throws a stark light on the shadowy intersections of international relations, espionage, and national security. Dieter S. stands accused of a series of grave charges, including planning to execute an explosion, commit arson, and engaging in espionage activities on behalf of a Russian intelligence agency. His alleged involvement extends to joining a militant group in the territories of eastern Ukraine under Russian control. His accomplice, Alexander J., is implicated in assisting Dieter S. with these subversive plans. The seriousness of these allegations is underscored by the federal prosecutor's decision to issue an arrest warrant for Dieter S., citing his membership in a foreign terrorist organization and his preparations for a significant act of violence. Adding to the intrigue, Dieter S. was found to possess a firearm and had previously expressed pro-Russian sentiments on social media platforms, including Facebook. In response to these alarming developments, the German Foreign Office took the diplomatic step of summoning the Russian ambassador to address the investigation. Meanwhile, the Russian embassy has categorically denied the allegations of espionage. This incident not only highlights the complex dynamics of international espionage, but also underscores the critical importance of a unified and robust security strategy for Germany. The government is now faced with the urgent task of reinforcing its commitments to national security and defence, ensuring the safety of its citizens against the backdrop of international tensions. In a moment that freezes the tumult of war into a frame of profound grief, Palestinian photographer Mohammed Salem captures global attention by winning the 2024 World Press Photo of the Year. His poignant image, which shows Inas Abu Mama mourning her 5-year-old niece, Sally, killed in an Israeli rocket attack in Gaza, stands as a stark testament to the human cost of conflict. Mohamed Salem's photograph is not just a visual documentation. It's a gateway into the broader canvas of human experiences during times of war, environmental degradation, and political turmoil. This award-winning photo is part of a compelling series that brings to light the depth of human suffering and resilience in the face of adversity. The significance of Salem's achievement is magnified as his work provides a rare glimpse into the Gaza Strip, where media access is severely restricted by Israel, and the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas has made the region one of the most dangerous places for journalists. The World Press photo exhibition, set against the historic backdrop of Amsterdam's Nieuwe Kerk until July 14th, offers a unique opportunity to witness the powerful narratives of our time through the lens of the world's leading photojournalists. Salem's image, along with other winning entries, paints a vivid picture of the diverse and complex realities faced by people around the globe. As journalists continue to risk their lives to tell these stories, Salem's work stands as a crucial reminder of the importance of press freedom and the need for unfiltered access to conflict zones. In the end, the 2024 World Press Photo of the Year not only celebrates the skill and bravery of Mohamed Salem, but also honours the memory of those lost in the conflict, like young Sally. It's a stark reminder of the ongoing human tragedy unfolding in Gaza and the essential role of photojournalism in bringing these stories to the forefront of global consciousness. In a courtroom in Halle, the trial of Björn Höcke, the chairman of Germany's far-right Alternative for Germany, AfD, party, has garnered attention for its focus on the use of a slogan with deep historical implications. Höcke stands accused of intentionally employing the banned SA slogan Alles für Deutschland during a campaign speech, a phrase associated with Germany's tumultuous past. The prosecution's case hinges on the allegation that Höcke used this slogan to conclude a speech in support of his party colleagues in Saxony-Anhalt. However, the defence has countered these claims with assertions of political motivation behind the trial, going as far as to request the proceedings be digitally recorded to ensure transparency. The judge has indicated that Höcke's appearance on Welt TV, where he seemingly minimised the importance of the SA slogan, calling it a commonplace saying, might play a significant role in the proceedings. This trial is not just about a phrase, it's about the broader implications of its use in contemporary political discourse. As the trial progresses, the prosecution plans to delve into another incident where Höcke is said to have used a hand gesture to encourage the audience to complete the banned slogan. This case is not only critical for Höcke, whose candidacy in the upcoming state election hangs in the balance, but also for the AfD party, which currently leads the polls in Thuringia, despite potential challenges in forming a state government due to its controversial leader. With Höcke also facing a separate charge from 2023 in Gera, the trial underscores the complexities of addressing historical symbols and slogans in today's political landscape. The outcome could have far-reaching consequences for both Höcke and the AfD, highlighting the ongoing struggle to reconcile with the past while navigating the future of political discourse in Germany. On the occasion of his 100th day in office, French Prime Minister Gabriel Attal has unveiled a comprehensive action plan aimed squarely at combating youth violence. This move underscores a determined approach to address a pressing issue that has been a concern for communities across France. The plan Attal introduced is multifaceted, focusing on preventive measures as well as enforcement. It introduces a contract of rights and obligations for parents, which is a novel approach to engaging families in the fight against youth violence. Furthermore, the plan extends school hours in priority neighbourhoods, aiming to provide a safe and structured environment for young people. It also ties sanctions to school diplomas for instances of misbehaviour, signalling a no-tolerance stance towards disruptions in educational settings. In a bold legislative proposal, Attal suggests that assaults motivated by non-compliance with religious principles should be considered an aggravating circumstance in criminal offences. This reflects a broader commitment to uphold the values of the Republic, including secularism and mutual respect among its citizens. The Prime Minister is not just focusing on preventive measures, but is also rearming law enforcement and introducing stricter measures for juvenile offenders. This dual approach of prevention and enforcement underscores the government's comprehensive strategy to tackle youth violence head-on. Beyond the immediate issue of youth violence, Attal has also touched upon broader socio-economic reforms. He discussed plans for salary increases and reforms to the unemployment insurance system, promising these changes would come without raising taxes. This balance between social reform and fiscal responsibility highlights the government's attempt to address economic concerns while ensuring public safety. In his address, Attal also took a moment to defend the principle of free speech and to critique opposition parties for their alleged lack of focus on European issues. With crucial European elections on the horizon, Attal's comments underscore the importance of a unified approach to both domestic and continental challenges. This action plan, therefore, is not just a set of measures to combat youth violence, but also a statement of political and social priorities as France looks towards the future. This has been your daily brief in EU news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. We'll be back Monday with everything you need to know.